You know, I want to speak out of the second reading today, but before I do, just a word on the gospel, which has an important reminder for most of us, or all of us. Namely this, that it's interesting that when John was asked, John the Baptist, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." But elsewhere, when the apostles asked Jesus about John the Baptist, Jesus said he, in fact, is Elijah, the prophet. Now, again, not literally come back from heaven, but he's the Elijah figure who was prophesied in both the book of Sirach and also in the book of the prophet Malachi. He said, "For I will send Elijah the prophet back to you before the Messiah comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers to prepare a people, lest I come to the land and strike it with doom." So there was this... It's interesting. John answers, "I am not Elijah," and Jesus says he is Elijah. Some of the fathers of the church kind of want to get John off the hook and say, well, John was meaning, "I'm not literally Elijah come back from heaven." Okay. And Jesus was speaking of him allegorically. He is that Elijah figure. And so they're not really contradiction there, but rather they're just talking at different levels. All right, all right. But I prefer personally a more human explanation, which is that, you know, John the Baptist is like most of us. He was a great saint, and he certainly was anointed to point out Christ when he came. But that doesn't mean that John was omniscient, that he knew everything perfectly, that he never got anything wrong. And there's a very important question that you and I have to ask. Who am I? How does God see me? It's interesting that although John the Baptist was wrong about the fact that he was Elijah, the Lord is saying he in fact was. And we're all on this journey to come to discover the man or the woman that God has created us to be and what role he has for us in both our family, in our community, in our church, but also ultimately in the full kingdom of God. There's just something very special about you and about me. No one can praise God like you. No one can fully possess the qualities that you have and just the combination you have them. There's something very unique and special that God has. And all of us are on this journey to discover, who is the man that God made me to be? Or if you're a woman, who's the woman God made me to be? And to come to discover that. I think, you know, humorously, a lot of us who are a little older kind of laugh and we think, you know, my life didn't exactly go the way I thought. Most of us have college degrees. We're doing very little, you know, related to the college degree we got. I mean, I have a computer science degree. How about, you know, look at me up here typing on my computer now, you know. But again, I was all the way through college, through good part of college. I was dating. I was planning to get married. And here I am. I'm a priest. You know, maybe some of you have stories, you know, and all I would say to you is that we stay in this conversation with the Lord. There's something very precious that said that the Lord has a name. And this is hinted at in Scripture in the book of Revelation, that there's a certain name that God calls us by. We don't know it yet. One day God will reveal to us the name that he knows us by. Now, a name is not just a sound you go by, but rather a name in the biblical sense is something of your essence that God sees and God knows, and yet at the end of the day, we're coming to discover, but we don't yet fully know. St. Paul says, right now, we see in a mirror darkly, but one day we shall know ourselves even as we are known. And so we're on this journey, and that's how I see John the Baptist, that the Lord knew some things about John the Baptist that he didn't yet know. And that's all right. I don't need for, oh my gosh, John got something wrong. Well, all right. Who said he was omniscient or who said he was infallible? So again, the one thing though he did get right, I am not the Messiah. That's very important that you and I also get that one right, right? Don't get a Messiah complex, all right? Remember, that job's taken, all right? I'm not the Messiah, but what I am, I'm learning to discover little by little as I make my journey, and one day in heaven, I'll know even as I'm known. But for now, I'm in this ongoing discernment and discussion with the Lord. All right, just a thought based on the gospel. But let's go to the Second reading today, and I want to say that today is called Gaudete Sunday. It's just a Latin imperative verb that means all y'all, in the plural, all y'all, rejoice. So we're in a way commanded, or we're told today, to rejoice. Now, this, of course, is problematic if we're suffering with some sorrow or fear or regret, and we're told to rejoice. But I would say to you that I want you to be careful to understand what is being said here. The Greek word is charite. We get the word charismatic or, you know, charis from it. But at the end of the day, I want to insist with you that this call to joy or this call to rejoicing is not simply a call to the emotion that we call joy, but rather to a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there are 12 different fruits of the Holy Spirit in the letter to the Galatians. You know, there's kindness and patience and long-suffering and humility and so on. And among them, joy. Now, joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of God in us. And so God is asking us or inviting us today to lay hold of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we call joy, not simply the emotion of joy. I don't know if you've noticed, but the word emotion has the word motion in it. Emotions tend to move through us. So let me define joy for you as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is a stable, serene, confident disposition of joy. At times, we may get bad news, we may have sorrowful news, but deeper down, there's a joy that we can quickly return to that says everything is all right. God, things are in God's hands. And so again, to define it, a stable, serene, confident disposition of joy with God. It's a work and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we're told today then, lay hold of this gift. Rejoice. Always, the text says, rejoice. But then, you see, it doesn't just say, do this, you know, get yourself all stirred up or lay hold of this gift. It actually goes and tells us how we can cultivate certain things in our life that allow this gift, this work of the Holy Spirit, to come alive in us. So with that in mind, I will list them. There are three things I think the text says to us today about how we can open ourselves to this work of the Holy Spirit so that this great and powerful and beautiful gift of soul-saving joy can be ours. Okay, what are they? I'll list them and then we'll look at them. We are to persevere in praise, number one. Number two, we are to have gained perspective through prophecy. Number three, we are to make progress toward perfection. So let's look at them. Again, what we want to do is, Lord, you've called me to lay hold of this beautiful, sweet, soul-saving joy. I want it, Lord. What do I need to do to dispose myself? Well, the first thing, persevere in praise. Listen to what the text says. It says, pray without ceasing, and in all circumstances give thanks. And it goes on to say, don't quench the Spirit. Now, let's start with the middle thing. You have certainly heard me on this many times, but I will tell you, some things bear repeating over and over again. Gratitude is a very important thing to cultivate. It is at the heart of good mental health and good spiritual health. What is gratitude? It says, in all circumstances, give thanks. First of all, gratitude is not just a feeling. Again, it is a discipline of our mind, where every day we consider and we ponder and we count that God has been awfully good to us. He has been so good to us. And we count our blessings. And we discipline our mind. You know, and again, I know I repeat myself, but listen, every day 10 trillion things go right and a few things go wrong. But I tell you, I do not exaggerate when you think that every fiber of your being, every aspect of our environment and our cosmos and all the things that God is doing and holding together, every molecule of air is a gift. Every atom of every molecule of air is a gift. You see the idea? God is blessing us over and over and over again. And every day a few things go wrong. Now, I don't mean to make light of them. Sometimes they're pretty serious. Maybe someone here today has recently lost a loved one. We all buried one of our deacons on Friday. I do not say to you that there are not real things that are weighty in our life that are wrong and negative. But I tell you again, put it on the scales, my brothers and sisters. Do the math and recognize how gloriously bountiful and good God is to us. He is so good to us. You know, some of you ask me outside, how you doing, Father? And I say, well, I'm pretty well blessed for a sinner. Huh? Someone just say, I'm more blessed than I deserve, all right? So when we put it on the scales, God's been good to us. And get this now, it says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Because you've heard this before, too, from Romans 8. And I checked this morning just to make sure that the Holy Spirit had not blotted out the text. It's still there. And it says that for those who love and trust God, all things work together for our good. All things, not just the good things, not just the pleasant things. Even the difficult and the painful things have a purpose. And God allows them only so that he may draw some even greater blessing from them if we're faithful. Now, we don't always know how he's going to do that. We don't always know. It's at times paradoxical, even bewildering. But at the end of the day, I'm a witness that even in the sorrowful things of my life, God has opened doors. God has taught me important things. God has blessings behind the burdens. So in all circumstances, give thanks. Learn to count your blessings, the obvious ones, but also the ones that come in strange packages that are not easy to understand. Now, at the heart of this, then, again, as you've heard me say this again, grateful people are different. They are more joyful, they are more serene, they are more confident, they are more trusting. They have a certain sense that, you know, God is in the blessing business. And he's been good to me, and he's going to keep being good to me. And we can move forward with confidence, with serenity, and face even the difficulties and the uncertainties with a kind of a joyful, serene confidence. Now, it is a discipline of the mind. It doesn't just happen by snapping our fingers. It's something that we need to grow in. But we ought to be engaged in this discipline. So again, how are we going to lay hold of this deep, beautiful, sweet, soul-saving joy, this fruit of the Holy Spirit? Step one is to persevere in our praise. Again, says here, in all circumstances, to give thanks. It also adds, pray without ceasing. Now, you know, as you begin to become a more grateful person, your mental health improves. I'm going to guarantee it. Grateful people are different. Grateful people are more healthy. But I will say this, that there is also, that there comes alive in us a sense of God's presence throughout the day. You know, the normal Christian life is to be in living conscious contact with God throughout the day. And so as we begin to count our blessings and be grateful, and that this joy begins to come alive in us, we start to become aware of God all throughout the day, in the events of our day, in the people of our day. We become aware of him in his word. We become aware of him in creation. We're just, Lord, I'm amazed. And we start to have wonder and awe, a sense of joy at all that God does in the beauty of creation, in the beauty of human beings, and even in the trying and testing moments of life. We see God is present, God is at work, and that is the normal Christian life. When Paul says here, pray without ceasing, he doesn't mean stay in a chapel all day. He means become aware of God's presence all throughout the day. And be attentive to him. Pay attention to his presence. Notice it. See it. It is a gift that has come alive more and more in my heart. You know, when I was a younger man, I could go for days, weeks without ever thinking of God. All wrapped up in Lord knows what, huh? Football, or that pretty girl over there, or you know, whatever the latest at school or whatever, you know. But little by little, as I've made this journey, I am so aware of God all day long. Little acts of gratitude and thanksgiving, and I'm just so much more aware of God. I'm so grateful for it. And I only say it to you not to boast. I'm telling you, I don't know how it happened. I'm just saying it happened. Ask for it and God can do it for you. That more and more we pray without ceasing because we're alert and we're attentive and we notice God and what he's doing and we're grateful, grateful, grateful. So again, step one to lay hold of this beautiful, sweet, soul-saving joy is to persevere in praise. Number two, gain perspective through prophecy. Now it says here, do not despise prophetic utterances and test everything and retain what is good. Now, what do we mean by prophetic utterances? Well, first and foremost is God's word, all right? Are you praying with me, right? It is God's word. It is also the teachings of the church that are solemnly rooted in this word and proclaimed to us. The prophetic utterances are the word of God spoken to us through his word, his written word, and through the sacred teachings of the church. Now, my brothers and sisters, the Bible isn't just a collection of stories and events from a long time ago. The scriptures are a prophetic declaration of reality. Whatever you think is going on, this is what's really going on. You know, we get all wrapped up in the moment, 2017 in America, and what party is in power, and what's going on at the policy level, and what's going on over here, and will they be closing the Safeway soon and rebuilding it? We get all wrapped up in our little, but there's something bigger. It's called the whole course of human history. And the Lord says, look, this is a prophetic declaration of reality. Here's what's really going on. Your life is caught up in a great drama between the Lord and his forces and Satan and his forces. And you have a decision to make. You come and you listen to my word and you start to think more like I think. And you start to have my priorities. You see, if we, the text goes on to say, test everything. In other words, we're constantly being bombarded by ideas, thoughts, and other people's priorities. What we should do, what we should think, what we should be all about. If we're not careful and we don't test those things, we get carried off into foolish stuff that isn't going to last but a season. Oh, we all got to run and buy a brown suit. Brown suits are in. Next year, blue suits. You know, if you're not careful, you start to hear the world say, look, you're not tall enough, you're not pretty enough, you're too dark, you're too light, you don't drink the right beer, you don't have the right kind of a job, you don't drive the right kind of car. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Old Billy Joel song. Can't you tell that your tie's too wide, right? All right. And we get all wrapped up in the fickle priorities and views and trends of a world, and next year it's all different. And that is not a recipe for happiness. The usual word from the world is, you don't measure up. You got to get with the program. You got to think this way. You got to dress this way. You got to look this way. And God whispers, he says, no, you don't. Your glory and your dignity is that you're my son. You're my daughter. I created you out of nothing, out of pure love. I scoop clay from the earth and I breathe life into you. And your glory is to know me and to be making a journey toward me. And whether you're thin or fat, whether you're healthy or unhealthy, you just keep moving toward me. That's your dignity. And you see, that's going to give you joy, because that's why we were made. We were made to know God, to love him and serve him in this world and be happy with him forever in the next. And anyone or anything that tells you anything different is giving you a recipe for unhappiness and for frustration and for tension. And yet we go and we buy into all that stuff so quickly. And we lose a sense of our dignity. So if we want to lay hold of this joy, we've got to stay close to God, to his word, to his description of reality, to his understanding, his priorities, and test everything else by it. There are good things in the world, and there are things and that we should agree with and work hard for. But the text says test everything and retain what is good, which implies ignore what's bad. If that doesn't sound like my shepherd's voice, away with it. And if it does, tell me more, and let's keep moving forward. You see the vision, right? But if we don't stay close to God's word, we're going to be unhappy very quickly, because the world's recipe for happiness is false and incomplete. And only God can ultimately soothe that God-sized hole in your heart. At the very depths of your being and mine is this most profound experience that I have an infinite longing. And no finite world can ever scratch that itch. It cannot fill it. It cannot deal with it. We have to keep looking and moving toward God. Are you praying with me? Now, we see, therefore, again, we want to lay hold of this beautiful, beautiful gift of sweet, beautiful, soul-saving joy, this anointing of the Holy Spirit. So step one is, again, to persevere in our praise, as the text says, to pray without ceasing and in all circumstances. Learn to give thanks and discipline our mind to be grateful at how good God is to us. Secondly, we want to gain perspective through prophecy. We want to think the thoughts of God, to be rooted in God's teaching. He has the blueprint for our happiness, and only He. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. So we listen to Him. And then the third thing, we make progress toward perfection. Notice the text says, refrain from every kind of evil, and may the God of peace make you perfectly holy and entirely, spirit, soul, and body, preserved blameless. Now the Lord who calls you is faithful, and He will also accomplish this. Now, what this is an important thing, this idea of making progress toward perfection. I think all of us experience at times some frustrations with our lack of progress, or we're impatient with either our progress or the progress of somebody else, right? Like a spouse or a child, or you get the idea. Brothers and sisters, one of the most beautiful sources of peace for us is this idea that God is patiently and persistently offering to work with us. We don't have to snap to and be perfect today, but He's taking us on a journey toward greater and greater perfection. You've heard me quote so often this line, and I hope you've memorized it too. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. I am not perfect yet, but the Lord's brought me a mighty long way. I don't know if you'd like to meet me back in college and high school. I don't know if you would like, you say, who is that? That's not the Charles Pope I know. And I don't say that, I just say, the Lord's been good to me. He's brought me a mighty long way. And most of you also know I still got a long way to go. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I would say that we need to take joy in this, that God's patient with us, and He's working with us. And if I look back maybe over the last couple weeks, I don't notice much change. But if we look back over the last 10 or 20 or 30 years, woo, big changes. God's been good to me, and He's going to keep being good. And one day, I'll have my halo on straight. I'll be clothed in light. And you'll say, hey, Immaculate Charlie. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is working in us. And so again, it doesn't have to all be complete today. Don't let some imperfection or something that you're impatient about in your life rob you of your joy. Just say, Lord, I remember why I still need you. I haven't got it all finished yet, but you've been so good to me. And I just keep coming back to you and say, Lord, I did it again. But the Lord says, I know. But one day it'll go away. Just like you've seen other things go away. You stay with me now. And don't lose heart. Whatever your struggles, whatever your setbacks, just remember, I brought you a mighty long way, and I'm going to one day bring you to the goal and to the finish line of your life. So you see, this idea of God's patience for us, being directed to our salvation and ultimately to our perfection, He will do it. You've heard me say this before, but St. Catherine of Siena heard God the Father say to her, Catherine, if you were ever to see a soul with me up here in heaven, you'd fall down and worship because you would think you were looking at me. And brothers and sisters, that is our future and that is our dignity if we are faithful. And we don't have it all together now. Somebody say amen. But God does, and God is bringing us step by step, almost imperceptibly at times, to greater and greater holiness if we are being faithful. Therefore, again, today, I would propose to you as I wrap this up, there is a beautiful offer today. The Lord says, in effect, lay hold. He says, rejoice, all y'all. Rejoice. Okay, I don't feel like rejoicing. It's not an emotion. It's a disposition that God wants to give us. A stable, serene, confident joy that is at times affected by sorrows, but it doesn't last long because we have a stable disposition of joy and hope. And the Holy Spirit wants to give us this fruit. And the Lord says, lay hold of it. Well, how am I supposed to do that? Step one, persevere in praise. At all times, pray and give thanks and discipline your mind and how good God has been to you. And I tell you, gratitude is a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful doorway into this joy. Likewise, perspective through prophecy. You keep close to God's word. Do not listen to the lies of the world that are often just a recipe for unhappiness and unfulfillment. There are good things in our world, but test everything by God's word. So again, persevering in praise, perspective through prophecy, and finally, making that progress toward perfection. And if at times you feel discouraged, just say, devil, I'm encouraged. Because whatever sufferings or struggles or setbacks I'm going through, I'm going to just keep calling on Jesus. I'm just going to keep calling on Jesus. And he's going to make it all right. Jesus said he'll fix it, and it's all right. I said, Jesus said he'll fix it, and it's all right. So don't lose heart. And these things, I think, will, again, so the scripture is saying to us today, not just rejoice, but telling us how in those three ways. Brothers and sisters, I just do remind you of that beautiful song that I keep echoing. It's a beautiful song. And it just says, you know, it was written by Richard Smallwood, but of course, Whitney Houston made it very popular. But it just says, joy, joy, joy down in my heart, joy, joy. Soul-saving joy, oh joy, sweet, beautiful, soul-saving joy, joy down in my soul, deep in my soul, huh? Stable, confident, serene, a disposition, not an emotion, a disposition. Ask for it. Follow some of the prescriptions for it, and God wants to give it to us. Lay hold of it, brothers and sisters. Another song just comes to mind that just says, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the source of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, the center of my joy.